food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I am here with my co-host Alfred Addis to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events and helping you to get prepared financially. This is why we call it Financial Survival. Today is Wednesday, August 21st, 2013. First, let's get started with the market report today. We had gold wanting to go up. We have gold up $3.30 today at $13.68. Silver was down 5 pennies at $23.07, but mostly being up on the day. Platinum was up $3 today at $15.23, with palladium down $3 at $750. You have the USDX today, 81.28, up 35, and you have the crude oil also down again another over a buck at 103.95. Paper markets today, knock it off, guys. Paper markets today, you had the Dow down 105 points at 14,897. The NASDAQ was down 13 points at 35.99. You had the S&P down 10 at 1,642. I guess when they released the Fed meeting from last month, I guess the markets didn't like what was said. I don't know why. It's the same old stuff, to put it nicely. That's always said. Maybe we will, maybe we won't, and never giving a definite, and certainly the markets and the economy is not what it should be in order for him to do any type of tapering. But, how long have we been telling the folks this? You know, folks, we know what's going on. We don't build any sensationalism into our reporting. Maybe we should, you know, maybe we should sensationalize it. Huh?
I think the sky is falling, Melody. That's what we're going to do today. The sky is falling. So you just refer to me as Chicken Little or Chicken Big. I would refer Chicken Big to Chicken Little, but regardless.
I know.
We'll do a little sensationalism. You know.
Should we do that?
Well, we could try.
Oh, wow. Hey, the sky's going to fall soon enough, but,
it's not actually falling, but it is bending.
Yeah.
It's sagging. You understand? We need a sky lift, all right, to deal with the sagging sky, and that's what Ben Bernanke is going to do. He's going to lift. He's going to give the sky a sky lift.
Well, you know what happens is the sensationalism creates fear. And folks, if you're going to be fearful, be prepared. So that's all there is to it. And once you're prepared, what do you have to be fearful of? So be prepared, not scared. And today, Al, since the first time, good news, the first time since 2009, previously occupied U.S. homes are selling at a pace associated with a healthy market. Those are the headlines today. Sales jumped 6.5% in July. But so that was the headline. Everybody's all excited about that. And but what's funny is a lot of these July numbers actually include a couple months for the rates to be locked in. So you really won't get a true idea of the market, until the end of August, because I think everybody probably rushed into the market to get their rates locked in before we started to see it increase. And then the same reports talking about how great the housing market was on building construction, but they didn't fail to talk about that the rise was mainly due to apartment construction.
Well, so, we talked about that yesterday.
Yeah,
the
did.
Implication is if they're building more apartments, it necessarily means that there's less people going into homes, or I won't say that, in less in absolute terms, but relatively speaking, say, hooray, we're building more apartments. Okay, that's good. The apartment dwellers are not buying homes. That's the point. It can't be good for the real estate market. It might be good for renters. It might be good for commercial real estate owners. But I don't see that it helps the housing industry.
No, and it doesn't. And that's what they were saying also. They were also saying that the new home buyers is actually down. And of course, these new home buyers are going into the apartments. So, but I'll tell you what, here in State College, Al, they're building huge complexes of apartments. And
you're sure it's not a FEMA camp, is it?
No, it's not a FEMA.
I just thought maybe they'd build one close by.
But the talk of the town is why. I mean, the students, we already have enough housing for the students. The college isn't expanding. Penn State is not expanding. And even with the problems that we had with Sandusky, you would think enrollment would be down a little bit because, they're not going to – the kids don't want to come to this school when you don't have the
– It's not safe.
Well, not that, but you don't have the enticements of the football team in order to bring these students here. Yeah. So there's like three large complexes, huge complexes.
Well, maybe they're taking a lesson from China. China, of course, in the midst of its economic boom, has been building cities that are completely vacant. Maybe that's the secret. If we just built more vacant and abandoned buildings here in this country, then we could be prosperous. What do you think, Maldi?
Maybe. Maybe. But it is interesting. Builders do have to build. I mean, they have loans, and the bank's got a loan, and the builder's got to build, so they have to build something.
Builders got to build. Birds got to fly. Okay, what else we got, Maldi?
It's up to you. Take it away.
All right, let's talk a little bit about cell phones. Here's an article on Apple. Headline is Apple to block phone features at sensitive events. Almost everyone has a cell phone these days, and more people carry a smartphone of some type, including the increasingly popular Apple iPhone. You can do so many things with your phone, it feels like you found a whole new form of freedom never before experienced, right? Well, don't hold your breath. It seems that Apple has just patented a new piece of technology which would allow certain phone features to be blocked at what they term sensitive events. What are these events? For now, Apple Incorporated says the feature is largely implemented for use during rock concerts, cinemas, theaters, and similar venues, though admits, quote, covert police or government operations may require complete blackout conditions. So they're preparing to, they haven't marketed them yet, these aren't the iPhones yet, but they are preparing to build iPhones where they can the police, government can shut them off whenever they want. That's the sort of thing that's a little disturbing. It causes people to wonder, do I want to, is that what I want to rely on? Obama administration, here's one from the Washington Post. The Obama administration asks Supreme Court to allow warrantless cell phone searches. If the police arrest you, do they need a warrant to rifle through your cell phone? Courts have been split on the question. Last week, the Obama administration asked the Supreme Court to resolve the issue and rule that the Fourth Amendment allows warrantless cell phone searches. Now, you know, this is just another one of these invasions of privacy where what is it that you can expect to be private, and where can you be expect to be secure in your personal papers and private belongings? As let's take a look at the Fourth Amendment: the right to be right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. The government doesn't like the Fourth Amendment. They don't want their right to bust in, and they still recognize it relative to homes, but they are constantly whittling away at it. And cell phones is one of the places where they're whittling. And I'm wondering about this. I'm wondering if perhaps one of the ways people could resist this, government is trying to, they want the right to just read everything you got on your cell phone anytime it feels good to them. And I'm looking back, I'm looking at the First Amendment, which says in part, Congress shall make no law respecting the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to be and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. You have a right to peaceably assemble. That's what it says in the Constitution. There is a case from 1958, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People versus Alabama, where the Supreme Court ruled that this right to peaceably assemble includes freedom of association. You have a right to associate with whoever you want to associate with them. So I'm wondering, for those of you that are perhaps a little bit inclined to legalism and so on, do you suppose that the government's attempt to intrude into your cell phone could be resisted on the basis that the names and the addresses and whatever other information you have in your cell phone is part of your right of association? It's part of the attributes of your freedom of association. And when they break in, are they violating the First Amendment and the freedom of association? Is that sufficient to hold them off, Melody, or is it just wishful thinking, or can anything hold them off right now?
Yeah, it might be wishful thinking, but again, it's just another one of these. You know, you talk about the being able to where they can adjust the phone to shut it down. Well, they already do that. I mean, if there's a situation, they already black out the phones from being able to work. The automobiles, I've heard two stories. I've heard where they can shut down your automobile. I've heard other stories where they can't. But I do know that even during the Boston Marathon, whether there was just so many calls coming in and it overloaded the system or they actually black it out, I think they actually black it out. They're already doing it. People couldn't call out. They couldn't call their family and friends to let them know that they were okay. And I don't know how long it was down, but it's down. So they do still have control.
And well, they have some.
And I think what we also found out through the NSA is, hey, you know what? They're going to monitor us. And, you know, do I believe it's right? No, I don't. Do I believe it's an infringement? Absolutely. And you're right, Al. They shouldn't be allowed to do it. But I would rather
what
have
what they
everybody
do, and it's so complex, and it's so difficult to reach these people and find congressmen, for example. You know, they couldn't get away with this just on the basis of the police, the NSA, whoever they want to do. They want to spy on the American people. It has to be done with the complicity of the presidency. It has to be done with the complicity of the Congress. It has to be done with the complicity of the courts. And the ultimate reason for spying, they're going to sit back and say it's for national security, and they're spying to protect you and me against the terrorists. Because there might be a terrorist, no telling. There might be one, who knows, in the closet right now behind where you folks are sitting. There could be a terrorist. Better go check. The government's constantly using this as if they're protecting us. The truth of the matter, they are not trying to protect us from the terrorists. They're trying to protect themselves against us. We're the ones they want to keep an eye on because they recognize that we are growing increasingly angry, upset with the government. We've seen evidence that virtually everybody holds Congress in contempt, certainly disrespect. Not many people have a high opinion of the presidency. The government itself is increasingly disrespected by the American people. And government knows that, and they probably have projections and understand. They probably appreciate the problem far better than I do. And they are concerned that if the number of people that are angry at government continues to grow, and given the government's behavior, it certainly will, they're concerned that some people are going to take violent acts against the government. Some people will take important political acts against the government in terms of becoming politically active and involving themselves in the political process where perhaps we can throw some of the SOBs out of office. And so the government feels a need to protect itself. They say it's national security. It's actually government security. And who is this national security against? You know, the National Security Agency, are they protecting us against what? Russia? Germany? France? Uganda? China? Who is the threat outside that we're being protected against? They're spying on us, to protect national security. National security means the people of the nation. That's what it should mean. So who is that external threat they're worried about? And the answer is there really isn't one out there that's significant at this time. Certainly not a significant military threat. I know there's spying to be done. I'm not saying it shouldn't be done. But the big threat to today's government is today's American people. And a lot of people listening to this program might not believe that. Well, I'll guarantee the government does. If anything happens to the government, if the government were to some degree impaired, it won't be impaired by the Russians or the Chinese. It'll be impaired by the American people. We're the only ones that can really hold that government in check if we care to. And government knows that, and therefore they want to spy on us. So they're trying to protect themselves against the American people, and we, our obligation is to try to ferret out whatever information we can, communicate it, and let people know what's really going on in government. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Who
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here at Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. And Melody has a special today.
Yeah, this is a great little special. A lot of you took advantage of it. It's a silver special. It was been a while since we had 90% silver, and I was able to find some yesterday. It was a $2,000 special. Prices are pretty much the same as yesterday. You have 90% quarters, $20 face value. You have Morgan silver dollars, slightly circulated. You have 1 ounce silver eagles, a tube of those, and 1 ounce silver round. You have 20 of those. So 20 face on the 90%, 20 Morgans, 20 silver eagles, 20 silver rounds. It includes your shipping costs, everything out the door for $2,000. So just give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And I always encourage folks to visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter, American Survival. And if you missed any of the programs, you can always listen to the archives or this program live at the website. And if anybody has any questions for today's program, you can call us at 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. Don't get those numbers confused. Those are for any questions that you have for myself or Alfred. Last night, Al, I was did a program with Dr. Stanley Monteith, and one of the callers had asked me, they had a was listening to an economist, and this economist was telling the listeners that they should only hold 5% of their assets in gold, and they should hold cash, that cash is king. And I kind of chuckled because we talk about that all the time on the program. And they asked me what my opinion was, and I was very happy to give it. And so there are folks out there, alternative media, that listen perhaps in shortwave or various Christian programs across this nation. They're telling people that they should hold cash, that cash is king, and only 5% gold. And sometimes I question, why would anybody want to hold 5% gold? What's the point? Yeah. It's really not doing anything for you. If you're only buying if you have $500,000 and you put a little bit in it for bartering, what's the point? That's not your purpose of buying bartering material if you're holding $500,000. It's all, it's all what's suitable for you, and 5% isn't going to do anything in preserving your wealth.
I agree. I agree. And the economist, whoever they were talking about.
He didn't tell me who it was.
Whoever it was, cash is king during a depression. Cash is not necessarily king during good times. When the economy is strong, cash is not it's not king. There's a bunch of other things you can do where you can make money. But in a depression, that's when cash is king. And in the last major depression, the cash that was king was dollars, paper dollars, right? But they were all backed by silver. All right, they'd taken gold out of the market in 1933, and the cash that continued to be king was backed by silver. Now, if it had been backed by gold, it would have been the same thing. I'm not recommending that you prefer silver to gold, but I'm saying it's important to understand that the last time cash was king in this country was during the Great Depression, and at that point, that cash was backed by a precious metal. In the event we go into another depression, cash will again be king. You can bet on it. But I'm going to bet that the paper dollars won't make the grade. I don't doubt they'll continue to function. People will still accept them at times, but they'll discount them dramatically. And a dollar, if you take a $100 bill today, it might buy $10 worth of product in the midst of a Great Depression. All right. The cash that will be king will be gold and silver dollars once again. That'll be the cash. Precious metals will be the cash that's king. And whoever the economist was that they were speaking to, I would certainly disagree with his presentation as I've heard it's explained to me right now. The guy's saying, well, number one, we're in a depression already. That's his first, or we're right next to one. If we're not in it, we're right next to one. And under those circumstances, cash is king. I'll go along with that, but it won't be paper cash. There's the problem.
Exactly. That's how I answered it. That's how I answered it, Al. But it's interesting that there's a lot of opinions out there, and that's why we always go back to the fundamentals.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong if you stick with the fundamentals. Yeah. Today, Al, UPS came out and made the announcement due to Obamacare. They are going to drop their spousal coverage for, I believe it was like, 15,000 employees, 12,000 employees? So their wife or their husband won't be covered under the health care plan for UPS. They plan to remove thousands of spouses from its medical plan because they are eligible for coverage elsewhere. The Atlanta-based logistics company points to the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare as the big reason for this decision. You also have a Hamilton school district, I believe in Jersey, that told its substitute teachers they will be limited to working a maximum of 4 days a week in the coming school year because of the federal health reform law's future requirement that full-time employees be provided with health insurance. So you're seeing different areas of businesses, and these are just two that made announcements. Many more announcements will be coming. So, again, another sign of folks getting their wages cut.
That's exactly right, and that's the point of this.
Yep.
The people that are working for UPS who have essentially, they've been paid. Their income has included insurance for their spouse. All right, now, it's not exactly dollars in their pockets, but it's dollars they didn't have to spend. And therefore, their pay, it's not just a question of the spouse no longer gets insurance. It's a question of the UPS employees have just seen their pay cut based on Obamacare, or at least that's the excuse that's being put out.
I don't think it's an excuse. I think it's a fact.
It's probably a fact. It may not be the only one. I mean, people will blame Obamacare for everything, including bad weather and whether the peaches are ripe for the peach festival next spring. Obamacare is going to take a lot of flack, and deservedly so, because part of the problem with Obamacare is what we're seeing is these lunatics in Congress, the people who put Obamacare together, They seem to think that they rule as kings and queens. And when they say it, then that's it. That's just the absolute truth. There'll be no resistance. Everyone will just bow down, salute and execute, and whatever our fearless leaders claim in the Congress, we're all just going to do whatever they say. And as a result, they are removed from reality. They come up with laws that just, they aren't going to be obeyed. Right? This is as stupid. Obamacare, in its own way, is as stupid as prohibition. It isn't going to work. And it certainly isn't going to work just because people in government say, do it our way. We're not going to. That's all. We're not going to. It's not going to work. And we're just seeing evidence of that in UPS and story about substitute school teachers or whatever.
That's what I heard today. There was two people discussing Obamacare, and the guy says, yeah, he says, we'll just let it go because, you know what, it's going to collapse on its own.
Yeah.
So why spend all the money and all the talk trying to fight the dang thing? He says, just let it go. It'll fall apart. It's going to collapse on its own.
Yeah, we're going to have to see if there's a line in Las Vegas. If they have, are they betting on when Obamacare collapses? You know, they bet on a lot of things in Las Vegas. It's not just sports teams and the rest of that sort of thing, racehorses and so on. They bet on a lot of things, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's going to be a line on when Obamacare goes up in smoke. And I don't know, is it going to happen in 2014? Will it happen in June of 2014 or October? Will we have to wait till 2015? When does Obamacare go up in smoke, folks? The question everyone's on everyone's lips, when does Obamacare burst into flame? Well, we'll watch and see. I don't know, but it's another one of those inevitabilities that you sit back. And on the one hand, it's aggravating. On another hand, you just look at it, it just makes you laugh. It's, oh, my gosh, fools these mortals be.
Although we talk about the Obamacare collapsing and not being implemented, look how many people have been affected already.
Uh-huh.
Look at parts of this health care bill that have already gone into play. That has already become effective. And usually when you have something this big, they just throw everything in there but the kitchen sink and hope something sticks. Parts of it's going to stick. Some of it won't. But what does, look how it has destroyed and hurt many businesses already.
Yeah.
You've had the pharmacies go out of business. You have, I mean, the whole medical industry has changed already, implementing and getting ready for this. So if it fails, if it collapses on its own, look at the millions and billions of dollars that have been already spent.
At a time when the economy is already vulnerable and fragile.
Yep.
It hasn't helped the economy. I don't think anyone can make an argument that Obamacare has helped the economy up until now, or that it's likely to in the foreseeable future. You talk about these people at UPS. They just lost insurance for their spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Their spouse is not going to accept that very easily. Now, they might. Some of them will just say, well, I'll get along without it. But there were going to be others where the spouse or the UPS employee said, look, darling, I got to get you some insurance. What does that mean? They're going to pay a monthly insurance premium, and that means they're not going to go out for dinner. They're not going to buy shoes for the kids. I mean, it just has to be that some of the things the family would like to do will not be there to stimulate the economy. They're going to be putting their money into an insurance company that really isn't, it's very similar to government in that it's not really making a positive contribution. We need people to build things, right? Not just sell things. We need people to build things. And for the moment, that's not headed our way. We may see a change one of these days, but not this week for sure, Molly.
Signs. We talk about signs. There's signs everywhere. You came across 18 signs.
Yeah, this is from Michael Snyder. He's been on the program about 3 weeks ago. He writes a blog called The Economic Collapse. And he's a competent writer and a good researcher and so on. He came up with 18 signs that the global financial markets are entering a horrifying death spiral. He thinks everything's combining into something like a perfect storm, where inevitably the moment is coming when there is going to be a confluence of forces where all of a sudden, oh my gosh, you know, we're going to see things, in his opinion, that may be horrific. He lists 18. They don't all ring my bell. A few of them are: the yield on 10-year U.S. Treasuries has risen for five of the past 6 days, and it briefly touched 2.9% on Monday. Now, he sees that as significant, and I wonder.
It is significant, yeah.
But is it?
Yeah.
I mean, for five of the past 6 days, is that enough for us to be concerned? Or is it just a blip? Are five of the last 6 days, is that cause for concern?
Well,
or is it just a blip?
It was just a very short time ago. I don't think in the last 5 days. However, in the past how many weeks or months, it was 1.6, 1.5 to 2.86. That's significant.
Yeah.
But that is significant. The rise in the past, it did pop up pretty quick, and when you have that type of pop, the momentum is for it to go higher, not lower.
No, I get you. I get you. There's momentum out there. I'm just saying, sometimes you look at the evidence and you have to wonder. I'm certainly inclined to believe that we're going to see significant trouble, but you know,
this is a sign.
Don't want to
sell fear. No, this is a sign, and it is a big sign.
All right. Rapidly rising interest rates are spooking investors and causing them to pull money out of bonds at a very rapid pace. Investors have yanked nearly $20 billion from bond mutual funds and exchange-traded funds so far in August. $20 billion gone so far in August. That's the fourth highest pullback ever, according to TrimTab's data. In June, investors took out $69.1 billion, the highest on record. So, you know, we are seeing people pulling their money out of bonds. And because of the rising interest rates, presumably that he referenced in his first warning sign, treasuries are up to 2.9%. And I assume that's what he means. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Number three, sell-off of U.S. treasuries is being led by foreigners. In particular, China and Japan have been particularly aggressive in selling off bonds. China and Japan led an exodus from U.S. treasuries in June, and after the first signals, the U.S. Central Bank was preparing to wind back its stimulus, with data showing they accounted for almost all of a record $40.8 billion of net foreign selling of treasuries. All right, they're bailing out of U.S. treasuries. It's my understanding that about 80% of the government debt right now is being monetized by the Federal Reserve. Foreigners don't want it. It's evidence that governments around the world recognize our government is in a lot of trouble. And the American people haven't exactly picked up on this, They're not across the board. I know that many people in this audience, whatever, they get that. But a lot of people just don't get this. And it's simply more evidence that this stuff is piling up. It's hitting the fan. And we should all be prepared for something perhaps worse. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188, for your gold and silver coin needs. What up, Melody?
There was an interview done by John Emery. He's been in the business, in the financial business, for a long time. And, you know, he did an interview talking about the interest rates, and he believes that the entire financial system may be on the precipice of some sort of catastrophic event based on what we've seen in the bond market because of how the derivatives are so heavily intertwined. And he says he thinks he might be on the verge of another disastrous derivative meltdown. He says we have an unbelievable amount of interest rate derivatives in the financial system. So the winners theoretically take the profits on them, and the losers simply misprice them on their books. And but as you get higher interest rates, it becomes even more destabilizing. And, you know, that is the problem with the interest rates is because a lot of those derivatives, the underlying assets, are tied to the rates. So
what
a lot
does he
of
mean?
Things going on.
What does he mean when he says we have an unbelievable amount of derivatives? He means what can't be paid
won't be paid.
Yeah, there's too much to make good on. All right, that's what's unbelievable about it. You've got so many derivatives out there. There's no way in the world that the people who have assumed some liability on these derivatives are going to be able to make good. You know, that's why it's unbelievable. Now they're saying, oh, my gosh, what have we done? It seemed like such a brilliant scheme to come up with these derivatives and make all this money and, you know, it seemed like, how could you possibly lose? Well, you're going to lose. Yeah, sooner or later, the lies are going to be exposed. The truth is going to come out. And when that happens, there is going to be a great reshuffling, reset of the economy, maybe even the political system. In the long run, I'm in favor of it. All right? I'll tell you that I'm in favor of it, but I'm certainly not looking forward to it. It's like you got to take your medicine sooner or later. And we might as well take it and be done with it and start rebuilding. Rather than just drag this thing out, it's like You know, you got a toothache, you're sitting in the dentist's office, and you know, you go ahead, you go in front of me. You go ahead. You're letting everybody go in front of you. You might just as well go in, see the dentist, get the tooth fixed, and be done with it. But it's going to be a difficult situation, and it's not going to be fun or easy, in my opinion. We were reading from a list of evidence, items that Michael Snyder believes are evidence, signs, that the global financial markets are entering a horrifying death spiral. He thinks they can't get out of it. We'll go through a few more and get to a conclusion on this that strikes me as insightful. The rate of growth of new commercial bank loans and leases is now the slowest that it's been since the end of the financial crisis. If they're not lending money, it's not going into the economy, and they're not stimulating. We've talked about this before. The big financial institutions reportedly are still holding about $1.8 trillion of $2 trillion that was given to them in hopes that they would lend it to the great unwashed and thereby stimulate the economy. They've only lent out about 20% of what they received. It's still sitting there. And now this item number 9 in Michael's list of signs, it parallels that. Commercial bank loans are the lowest, slowest it's been since the end of the last financial crisis. I don't know when the last financial crisis ended. They keep 2009 is what some people say, but I don't think so. I think we're in the same financial crisis we've been in all along. Walmart's having a difficult time. That's one of his items. Again, I'm not sure that Walmart, it's interesting information. I'm not sure that that's, you know, world-shaking information. U.S. consumer bankruptcies just experienced their largest quarterly increase in 3 years. That's significant. It's not overly significant, but it's something. Velocity of money in the United States has hit another stunning new low. Now, it doesn't specify in the document what that stunning new low is, but the velocity of money has slowed dramatically, and that's just how fast people get money and spend it. All right, if I get $100 comes in the door and I run out and I spend it the next half hour, that's one velocity of money. If I sit back and I take that $100 comes through the door and I say, I better hang on to this. I may need it for the rent this month. And I don't spend that $100 until the end of this month. That's a much slower velocity of money. When the average velocity of money is slow for the country, it means we're not buying as much as we would normally. And that necessarily is just an indication the economy is slowing. It's just another way of measuring a slowing economy. What else? Let me get on. Japanese debt recently crossed the quadrillion yen mark, and many are expecting the Japanese financial system to start melting down at any time. Well, we'll see. If it does melt down, that would certainly be significant. But on the other hand, the system has managed to defy reality for a considerable period of time, and I can only wonder. You know, I believe reality will ultimately be imposed on the fiat monetary system. But I guarantee I have no idea when it's going to happen. Could happen this year. Again, could happen 5 years from now. I don't know. I'm inclined to think sooner rather than later, but I certainly don't know. But here's part of Michael's article. He says, what's going to cause the next crisis? And he quotes a man named James Rickards. And he says the problem in 2008 was too big to fail banks. Well, those banks are now bigger. Their derivative books are bigger. In other words, everything that was wrong in 2008 is worse today. Huh? Rickards goes on to warn the last time in 2008 when the crisis started, the Fed's balance sheet was $800 billion. They had $800 billion in debt at the Federal Reserve. Today, the Fed's balance sheet is $3.3 trillion and is increasing at $1 trillion a year. Today, their debt, the Federal Reserve's debt, is four times higher than it was back in 2008. Now, this is significant because Rickards goes on, he says, you're going to have a banking crisis worse than the last one. Because the banking system is bigger, without the resources because the Fed is tapped out. Now, what he's trying to say is that in the 2007-2008 crisis, financial crisis, the Federal Reserve and federal government had sufficient resources to bail out the financial institutions. They had high credit ratings. They could borrow money from foreign countries. They could print more money, and the Fed can still print more money. But what's happened, because the Federal Reserve is now $3.3 trillion in debt rather than $800 billion, it doesn't easily have the resources to pull another rabbit out of its hat and try to stimulate the economy and hold it together in the event that there's another financial crisis. Now, this strikes me as an important insight. We have exhausted most of the rabbits out of the Federal Reserve's hat. They've all been pulled out. And if we have another financial crisis, we're not going to have any more rabbits. Then what? Who is going to save us this time? Last time the federal government and the Federal Reserve saved us. They prevented the financial crisis 2007-2008 from turning into a depression, an overt depression. They were able to save us from that. But if we saw a similar financial crisis today, do they have the resources to bail us out this time? And the answer appears to be no, they don't. Which implies that we are technically more vulnerable today than we were in, say, 2006, 2007, before that financial crisis really took hold. We're more vulnerable right now. Now, will we see the financial crisis? Is there another financial crisis coming? More than likely, yes, but not. It's not certain. We don't know it for an absolute fact, but likely, yeah. And if there is, this is going to be a significant and difficult problem. And the clear implication, you know, we give it to you probably just about every program, at least one out of every two, are just telling you have to prepare for this possibility. It is incumbent on you. If there's nobody, I guarantee if the government and the Federal Reserve has exhausted so much of their funds that they're unable to bail out the financial institutions that are too big to fail. If they can't be bailed out this next time, I guarantee there isn't going to be any money to bail you or me or Melody out of whatever problems we encounter. If there is any money, it'll go to the bankers. If there's no money, and probably not much will get down to us. If there's no money, even the bankers don't get it, but for sure you and I won't. Which means, who are you going to rely on? How will you get through? It may be that your food stamp card isn't going to work. You know? How are you going to support yourself? How are you going to support your family? It's going to be difficult. There's not going to be an easy solution in the worst case scenario. There won't be an easy solution, but some solutions are certainly preferable, and one of them is you want to have something on hand. You're going to need food. You're going to need water. You're going to need gold. You're going to need silver. You're going to need arms. You're going to need bullets. Yeah. And if you've got them, the probability of being able to weather another financial crisis is increased for you and your family. If you don't have any of that preparation, you are going to be extraordinarily vulnerable. And in worst case scenario, which probably won't happen, worst case is always the least likely. Worst case isn't likely to happen, but a bad case is possible and likely and probably painful. So, you got to buckle up, folks. Get ready. Rock and roll. And it could be as early as, you know, fourth quarter of this year. Is it going to happen? I don't know. But it could be. There's certainly enough sign. And Michael Snyder, again, he was on the program a couple of weeks ago. He basically is agreeing. He's not offering you a time frame, but he's saying that we're close to something. And the man Rickards, James Rickards, that I just quoted, is saying that we are close to something. And whoever it was that Melody was quoting a little while ago, he is also saying we are close to something. And I hate to say it. I absolutely hate to say it because you can't say it without feeling a little bit like the little boy who cried wolf. But it may well be that there's a wolf out there. And it may well be that the wolf is getting closer. And it may be that it's not a good idea to simply ignore what the little kid has to say about wolves. Maybe the little kid is right. Huh? So, you have to make up your own mind. You have to take responsibility for your own life. You can believe us, don't believe us. If you do, prepare. If you don't, well, good. You know, that's a free country. Used to be anyway. It's still free in some regards.
I don't know if we have a quick question. We have a question. We might want to hold it for tomorrow, Al.
Yeah, a minute and a half. No, we don't. Yeah, a minute and a half.
Well, you know, there was a recent shooting, the Australian university student, three teenagers shot. Is this another push by the powers to be to take our weapons set up for the Congress after coming back from vacation?
I'm not familiar with the shooting. Is he talking about a shooting in Australia?
No, it was an Australian university student. He was here, and three blacks just shot him, and they says they were bored. They just did it out of boredom. Now, I don't think the question on this one is going to be anything about our weapons. Now, Atlanta, they had a school where a 20-year-old went into school. Supposedly, he had all kinds of weapons, and one of the teacher's aide talked him down and got him outside. He did a couple of firings at the police, but they got him out, and no one was hurt. Now, that would be one because their first reporting on that was AK-47. So that one would be used. But this one, you're not going to hear anything about this one because it was a white kid and he was shot by three black people.
I'm going to bet those black guys aren't bored for many of the balance of the years of their lives. They're going to be... Boredom is over now. They'll go to the slammer, and it'll be interesting and, for them, perhaps exciting. I'm Alfred Adisk. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
But still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.